Map, a portion of the Sea of Lost Lights. My personal map of the requested area, including notes from previous errands. Top left, Candlemore. I rode that Mandra from here to Celebrant, so you owe me those silver pieces after all. Top right, Kolinar's location in the physical realm. Lower than that, Smolderbrand Channel. I met Smolderbrand, stole this map from her. To the left and below that, the city of Celebrant. Middle left, Ravidzath. Spren fishing is illegal here, but their jail is nicer than most. Lower right, Caretaker of Laughter, avoid at all costs. Lower left, Thalen City's location in the physical realm. I hate the lake that corresponds to Thalena's second largest island.
89. Damnation. My research into the Unmade has convinced me that these things were not simply spirits of the void or nine shadows who moved in the night. They were each a specific kind of Spren endowed with vast powers. From Hesse's Mythica, page 3. Adolin had never bothered imagining what damnation might look like. Theology was for women and scribes. Adolin figured he'd try to follow his calling, becoming the best swordsman he could. The Ardens told him that was enough, that he didn't need to worry about things like damnation. Yet here he was, kneeling on a white marble platform with a black sky overhead, a cold sun, if it could even be called that, hanging at the end of a roadway of clouds. An ocean of shifting glass beads clattering against one another. Tens of thousands of flames, like the tips of oil lamps, hovering above that ocean. And the Spren. Terrible, awful Spren swarmed in the ocean of beads, bearing a multitude of nightmare forms. They twisted and writhed, howling with inhuman voices. He didn't recognize any of the varieties. "I'm dead," Adolin whispered. "We're dead, and this is damnation." But what of the pretty blue-white Spren girl, the creature with the stiff robe and a mesmerizing impossible symbol instead of a head? What of the woman with the scratched-out eyes, and those two enormous Spren standing overhead with spears and— Light exploded to Adolin's left. Kaladin Stormblast, pulling in power, floated into the air. Beads rattled and every monster in the writhing throng turned, as if one, to fixate upon Kaladin.
"Kaladin!" the Spren girl shouted. "Kaladin, they feed on Stormlight. You'll draw their attention. Everything's attention."
"Drahi and Scar," Kaladin said. "Our soldiers. Where are they?"
"They're still on the other side,"
Shallan said, standing up beside Adolin. The creature with the twisted head took her arm, steadying her.
"Storms, they might be safer than we are. We're in Shadesmar."
Some of the lights nearby vanished, candles' flames being snuffed out. Many Spren swam toward the platform, joining an increasingly large group that churned around it, causing a ruckus in the beads. The majority of them were long eel-like things with ridges along their backs and purple antennae that squirmed like tongues and seemed to be made of thick liquid. Beneath them, deep in the beads, something enormous shifted, causing beads to roll off one another in piles.
"Kaladin!" the blue girl shouted. "Please!"
He looked at her and seemed to see her for the first time. The light vanished from him and he dropped, hard, to the platform. Azure held her thin shard blade, gaze fixed on the things swimming through the beads around their platform. The only one who didn't seem frightened was the strange Spren woman with the scratched-out eyes and the skin made of rough cloth. Her eyes, they weren't empty sockets. Instead, she was like a portrait where the eyes had been scraped off. Adolin shivered. "So," he said, "any idea what is happening?"
"We're not dead," Azure growled. "They call this place Shadesmar. It's the realm of thought."
"I peek into this place when I soulcast," Shallan said. "Shadesmar overlaps the real world, but many things are inverted here.
I passed through it when I first came to your land about a year ago, Azure added. I had guides then, and I tried to avoid looking at too much crazy stuff.
Smart, Adolin said. He put his hand to the side to summon his own shard blade. The woman with the scratched eyes stretched her head toward him in an unnatural way, then screeched with a loud, piercing howl. Adolin stumbled away, nearly colliding with Shallan and her... Spren? Was that Pattern?
That is your sword, Pattern said in a perky voice.
He had no mouth that Adolin could see.
She is quite dead. I don't think you can summon her here.
He cocked his bizarre head, looking at Azure's blade.
Yours is different. Very curious.
The thing deep beneath their platform shifted again.
That is probably bad, Pattern noted. Yes. Those Spren above us are the souls of the Oathgate, and that one deep beneath us is likely one of the Unmade. It must be very large on this side.
So what do we do?
Shallan asked. Pattern looked in one direction, then the other.
No boat. Yes, that is a problem, isn't it?
Adolin spun around. Some of the eel-like Spren climbed onto the platform using stumpy legs that Adolin had missed earlier. Those long purple antennae stretched toward him, wiggling. Fear Spren, he realized. Fear Spren were little globs of purple goo that looked exactly like the tips of those antennae.
We need to get off this platform, Shallan said. Everything else is secondary. Kaladin?
She trailed off as she glanced toward him. The bridgeman knelt on the stone, head bowed, shoulders slumped. Storms. Adolin had been forced to carry him away from the battle, numb and broken. Looked like that emotion had caught up to him again. Kaladin's Spren, Adolin could only guess that was the identity of the pretty girl in blue, stood beside him, one hand resting protectively on his back.
Kaladin's not well, she said.
I have to be well,
Kaladin said, his voice hoarse as he climbed back to his feet. His long hair fell across his face, obscuring his eyes. Storms. Even surrounded by monsters, the bridgeman could look intimidating.
How do we get to safety? I can't fly us without attracting attention.
This place is the inverse of your world, Azure said.
She stepped back from a long antenna exploring in her direction.
Where there are larger bodies of water on Roshar, we will have land here, correct?
Pattern said, nodding. The river? Adolin asked. He tried to orient himself, looking past the thousands of floating lights.
There.
He pointed at a lump he could barely spot in the distance, like a long island. Kaladin stared at it, frowning.
Can we swim in these beads?
No, Adolin said, remembering what it had felt like to fall into this ocean. The beads rattled and clacked against one another as the large thing surged beneath. In the near distance, a single spire of rock broke the surface, tall and black. It emerged like a mountain peak, slowly lifting from the sea, beads rattling in waves around it. As it grew to the height of a building, a joint appeared. Storms, it wasn't a spire or a mountain, it was a claw. More emerged in other directions. An enormous hand was reaching slowly upward through the glass beads. Deep beneath them, a heartbeat began sounding, rattling the beads. Adolin stumbled back, horrified, and nearly slipped into the bead ocean. He kept his balance, barely, and found himself face to face with a woman with scratches for eyes. She stared at him, completely emotionless, as if waiting for him to try to summon his shard blade so she could scream again.
Damnation.
No matter what Azure said, he was certainly in damnation.
What do I do? Shallan whispered. She knelt on the white stone of the platform, searching among the beads. Each gave her an impression of an object in the physical realm, a dropped shield, a vase from the palace, a scarf. Nearby, hundreds of little Spren, like little orange or green people only a few inches tall, were climbing among the spheres. She ignored those, searching for the soul of something that would help.
Shallan, Pattern said, kneeling. I don't think... I don't think soul casting will accomplish anything. It will change an object in the other realm, but not here.
What can I do here? Those spines or claws or whatever rose around them, inevitable, deadly. Pattern hummed, hands clasped before him. His fingers were too smooth, as if they were chiseled of obsidian. His head shifted and changed, going through its sequence. The spherical mass was never the same, yet somehow still always felt like him.
"My memory," he said. "I don't remember."
Stormlight, Shallan thought. Yasna had told her to never enter Shadesmar without Stormlight. Shallan pulled a sphere from her pocket. She still wore Vale's outfit. The beads nearby reacted, trembling and rolling toward her.
Pattern said. "Dangerous."
"I doubt staying here will be better," Shallan said. She sucked in a little Stormlight, only one mark's worth. As before, the Spren didn't seem to notice her use of Stormlight, as much as they had Kaladin's. She rested her free hand against the surface of the ocean. Beads stopped rolling, and instead clicked together beneath her hand. When she pushed down, they resisted. Good first step, she thought, drawing in more Stormlight. The beads pressed around her hand, gathering, rolling onto one another. She cursed, worried that she'd soon just have a big pile of beads.
"Shallan," Pattern said, poking at one of the beads. "Perhaps this?"
It was the soul of the shield she'd felt earlier. She moved the sphere to her gloved safe hand, then pressed her other hand to the ocean. She used that bead's soul as a guide, much like she used a memory as a guide for doing a sketch. And the other beads obediently rolled together and locked into place, forming an imitation of the shield. Pattern stepped out onto it, then jumped up and down happily. Her shield held him without sinking, though he seemed as heavy as an ordinary person. Good enough. Now she just needed something big enough to hold them all. Preferably, as she considered, two somethings. "You, Sword Lady," Shallan said, pointing at Azure. "Help me over here. Adolin, you too. Kaladin, see if you can brood this place into submission." Azure and Adolin hurried over. Kaladin turned, frowning. "What?" "Don't think about that haunted look in his eyes," Shallan thought. "Don't think about what you've done in bringing us here, or how it happened. Don't think, Shallan." Her mind went blank, like it did in preparation for drawing, then locked onto her task. "Find a way out." "Everybody," she said. "Those flames are the souls of people, while these spheres represent the souls of objects. Yes, there are huge philosophical implications in that. Let's try to ignore them, shall we? When you touch a bead, you should be able to sense what it represents." Azure sheathed her shard blade and knelt, feeling at the spheres.
"I can... yes. There's an impression to each one."
"We need the soul of something long and flat." Shallan plunged her hands into the spheres, eyes closed, letting the impressions wash over her.
"I can't sense anything," Adolin said. "What am I doing wrong?"
He sounded overwhelmed, but don't think about that. "Look, fine clothing that hadn't been taken out of its trunk in a long, long time, so old that it saw the dust as part of itself. Withering fruit that understood its purpose, decompose and stick its seeds to the rock, where they could hopefully weather storms long enough to sprout and gain purchase. Swords recently swung and glorying in their purpose fulfilled. Other weapons belonged to dead men, blades that had the faintest inkling that they'd failed somehow. Living souls bobbed around, a swarm of them entering the Oathgate control chamber. One brushed Shallan. Dre, the bridge man. For a brief moment she felt what it was like to be him. Worried for Kaladin, panicked that nobody was in charge, that he would have to take command. He wasn't a commander. You couldn't be a rebel if you were in charge. He liked being told what to do. That way he could find a method to do it with style. Dre's worries caused her own to bubble up. The Bridgeman's powers will fade without Kaladin, she thought. What of Vatha, Red, and Ishna? I didn't focus. Something reached out from the back of her mind, grabbed those thoughts and feelings, and yanked them into the darkness. Gone. She brushed a bead with her fingers. A large door, like a keep's gate. She grabbed the sphere and shifted it to her safe hand. Unfortunately, the next bead she touched was the palace itself. Momentarily stunned by the majesty of it, Shallan gaped. She held the entire palace in her hand. Too large, she dropped it and kept searching. Trash that still saw itself as a child's toy. A goblet that had been made from melted down nails, taken from an old building. There! She seized hold of a sphere and pressed Stormlight into it. A building rose before her, made entirely out of beads, a copy of the Oathgate control building. She managed to make its top rise only a few feet above the surface, most of the building sinking into the depths. The rooftop was in reach. On top of it! She shouted. She held the replica in place as Pattern scrambled onto the roof. Adolin followed, trailed by that ghostly Spren and Azure. Finally, Kaladin picked up his pack and walked with his Spren onto the rooftop. Shallan joined them with the aid of a hand from Adolin. She clutched the sphere that was the soul of the building and tried to make the bead structure move through the sea like a raft. It resisted, sitting there motionless. Well, she had another plan. She scurried to the other side of the roof and stretched down, held by Pattern, to touch the sea again. She used the sole of the large door to make another standing platform. Pattern jumped down, followed by Adolin and Azure. Once they'd all piled precariously on the door, Shallan let go of the building. It crashed down behind them, beads falling in a tumult, frightening some of the little green Spren crawling among the beads nearby. Shallan reconstructed the building on the other side of the door with only the rooftop showing. They filed across. They progressed like that, following building with door and door with building, inching toward that distant land. Each iteration took Stormlight, though she could reclaim some from each creation before it collapsed. Some of the eel-like Spren with the long antennae followed them, curious, but the rest of the varieties, and there were dozens, let them pass without much notice. Pattern said. Much emotion on the other side. Yes, this is good. It distracts them. The work was tiring and tedious, but step by step, Shallan moved them away from the frothing mess of the city of Kolinar. They passed the frightened lights of souls, the hungry Spren who feasted on the emotions from the other side. Pattern whispered to her. Look, Shallan, the lights of souls are no longer disappearing. People must be surrendering in Kolinar. I know you do not like the destruction of your own. That was good, but not unexpected. The Parshmen had never massacred civilians, though she couldn't say for certain what happened to Azure's soldiers. She hoped fervently they were able to either escape or surrender. Shallan had to edge her group frighteningly close to two of the spines that had emerged from the depths. Those gave no sign of having noticed them. Beyond, they reached a calmer space, out among the beads. A place where the only sound came from the clacking of glass. She corrupted them, Kaladin Spren whispered. Shallan took a break, wiping her brow with a handkerchief from her satchel. They were distant enough that the lights of souls in Kolinar were just a general haze of light.
"What was that, Spren?" Azure asked, corrupted.
"That's why we're here. The Oath Gate. Do you remember those two Spren in the sky? Those two are the Gateway's soul. But the red coloring, they must be his now. That's why we ended up here instead of going to Urethiru."
Ja'anat, Shallan thought, said she was supposed to kill us, but that she'd try not to. Shallan wiped her brow again, then got back to work.
Adolin felt useless. All his life he had understood. He'd taken easily to dueling. People naturally seemed to like him. Even in his darkest moment, standing on the battlefield and watching Sadeus's armies retreat, abandoning him and his father, he'd understood what was happening to him. Not today. Today, he was just a confused little boy standing in damnation. Today, Adolin Kolin was nothing. He stepped onto another copy of the door. They had to huddle together while Shallan dismissed the rooftop behind, sending it crashing down, then squeezed past everyone to raise another copy of the building. Adolin felt small, so very small. He started toward the rooftop. Kaladin, however, remained standing on the door, staring sightlessly. Syl, his Spren, tugged his hand.
"Kaladin?" Adolin asked.
Kaladin finally shook himself and gave in to Syl's prodding. He walked onto the rooftop. Adolin followed, then took Kaladin's pack, deliberately but firmly, and swung it over his own shoulder. Kaladin led him. Behind, the doorway shattered back into the ocean of beads.
"Hey," Adolin said, "it will be all right."
"I survived Bridge 4, Kaladin growled. "I'm strong enough to survive this."
"I'm pretty sure you could survive anything. Storms, Bridge Boy, the Almighty used some of the same stuff he put into shard blades when he made you."
Kaladin shrugged, but as they walked onto the next platform, his expression grew distant again. He stood while the rest of them moved on, almost like he was waiting for their bridge to dissolve and dump him into the sea.
"I couldn't make them see," Kaladin whispered. "I
couldn't protect them. I'm supposed to be able to protect people, aren't I?"
"Hey," Adolin said, "you really think that strange Spren with the weird eyes is my sword?"
Kaladin started and focused on him, then scowled.
"Yes, Adolin. I thought that was clear."
"I was just wondering."
Adolin glanced over his shoulder and shivered.
"What do you think about this place? Have you ever heard of anything like it?"
"Do you have to talk right now, Adolin?"
"I'm frightened. I talk when I'm frightened."
Kaladin glared at him as if suspecting what Adolin was doing.
"I know little of this place," he finally answered, "but I think it's where Spren are born."
Adolin kept him talking. As Shallan created each new platform, Adolin would lightly touch Kaladin on the elbow or shoulder, and the bridgeman would step forward. Kaladin's Spren hovered nearby, but she let Adolin guide the conversation. Slowly, they approached the strip of land, which turned out to be made of a deep, glassy black stone, kind of like obsidian. Adolin got Kaladin across onto the land, then settled him with his Spren. Azure followed, her shoulders sagging. In fact, her hair was fading. It was the strangest thing. Adolin watched it dim from a lethy jet black to a faint gray as she sat down. Must be another effect of this strange place. How much did she know of Shadesmar? He'd been so focused on Kaladin, he hadn't thought to interrogate her. Unfortunately, he was so tired right now, he was having trouble thinking straight. Adolin stepped back onto the platform as Pattern stepped off. Shallan looked as if she was about to collapse. She stumbled, and the platform ruptured. He managed to grab her, and fortunately, they only fell to waist deep in the beads before their feet touched ground. The little balls of glass seemed to slide and move too easily, not supporting their weight. Adolin had to practically haul Shallan through the tide of beads up onto the bank. There, she toppled backward, groaning and closing her eyes.
"Shallan?"
he asked, kneeling beside her.
I'm fine. It just took concentration, visualization.
We need to find another way back to our world, Kaladin said, seated nearby. We can't rest. They're fighting. We need to help them. Adolin surveyed his companions. Shallan lay on the ground. Her spren had joined her, lying in a similar posture and looking up at the sky. Azure slumped forward, her small shard blade across her lap. Kaladin continued to stare at nothing with haunted eyes, his spren hovering behind him, worried.
Azure, Adolin said, is it safe here, on this land?
As safe as anywhere in Shadesmar, she said tiredly. The place can be dangerous if you attract the wrong spren, but there isn't anything we can do about that.
Then we camp here.
But,
Kaladin said,
we camp,
Adolin said, gentle but firm.
We can barely stand up straight, Bridgeman.
Kaladin didn't argue further. Adolin scouted up the bank, though each step felt like it was weighted with stone. He found a small depression in the glassy stone and, with some urging, got the rest of them to move to it. As they made their improvised beds from their coats and packs, Adolin looked one last time at the city, standing witness to the fall of his birthplace.
Storms, he thought. Elokar. Elokar is dead.
Little Gav had been taken and Dalinar was planning to abdicate. Third in line was Adolin himself. King.